Today's learning should be a refuah shleima for Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkat, covered Gadol Rav Sacks.
Chametz on Pesach is not only osur ba'achila, but it's osur ba'hana as well, that one is not allowed to derive any benefit from the chametz in any shape or form. And although the isur achila is something which is quite explicit in the pasuk, the basis of the isur hana is somewhat questionable. And this is a machlokis between Chizkiah and Rabbi Avohu, the sugyim sachim and daf chof aleph amadeis. Chizki maintains as follows, that when it comes to chametz, the Torah tells us lo ye'achel chametz. Yeachel is in Binyan Yifal. It tells us that chametz cannot be utilized, cannot be consumed in any shape or form. And therefore, Chizkiya tells us an express pasuk that you have when it comes to chametz, not only is it forbidden to eat, but one cannot derive benefit at all from the chametz during Pesach. And the Gemara tells us that this is against the view of Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu maintains that you don't require any special pasuk at all when it comes to chametz and Pesach. After all, this is part of a much broader principle. Rabbi Avohu maintains that koma kom shene'emar, whenever the Torah tells us lo sochal, lo yochel, lo sochlu, echod isra'chila, the echod isra'hana, ad shi'par lecha kosuv, kederach shi'par lecha kosuv, b'nevelo. Whenever the Torah tells us not to eat something, eating by definition always implies hana. And therefore, whenever the Torah tells us don't eat, the starting point is one cannot benefit in any shape or form. And Rabbi Avohu maintains that that is why it was necessary for the Torah to go out of its way when it comes to cases of nevela or trefa or chalif to tell us la gerasha bisharecha titzenav achala omacha lanachri la kelet tashlichen also, you can give it to an animal, you can sell it to a guy. Why is it necessary for the Torah to tell us that these are built-in exceptions? Because typically speaking, if something is asur ba'achila, it is asur ba'hana as well. So therefore, two very different views. Chizkiya that tells us there's a pasuk regarding chametz itself, that chametz is asur ba'hana. Rabbi Avohu tells us that pasuk is not necessary for that purpose, because typically speaking, whenever there is an isur achila, we assume that there is an isur hana as well. If you look at the Rif found on Daf Hamad Beis and Daf Bei Harif, the Rif quotes the view of Chizkiya. Chametz on Pesach is asur b'hana based on the pasuk of lo ye'achel chametz. And how do we know that we assume as Chizkiya as opposed to the view of Rabbi Avohu? So here the Ran and the Rosh give two different answers. The Ran points out that very simply that Chizkiya's view is a more simple view. You don't have to get involved with the broadest issue, but very simply, there's a pasuk regarding chametz and Pesach that tells us it is asur b'hana, and therefore the Rif quotes the simpler of the two options. If you look in the Rosh elsewhere, the Rosh is found in Chulin, Perek Zayin, Simin Yud Zayin, where the Rosh points out that these are part of the principles of Psak in a broader sense. After all, Chizkiya was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Avohu was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, if you have a machlokas in Chizkiya and Rabbi Avohu, we will naturally paskin as the view of Chizkiya. And therefore, that is what the Rosh maintains, the basis of the Rif that quotes the view of Chizkiya. So two different views, Chizkiya, Rabbi Avohu, the Rif who cites the Shita of Chizkiya. What is quite surprising is the view of the Rambam. When you look in Hilchos Machalos Asuros in Periches Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam quotes the view of Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu that tells us whenever the Torah posits Nisr Achila, by definition it means Achila and Hana. And based on that Gemara Msachim Rav Chaf Aleph, therefore there will be no need at all to cite any other pasuk regarding chametz. If this is typically true, no other pasuk is necessary. And yet, when you look in the Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perak Aleph Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes that Chametz Pesach is not only Asur Ba'achila, it is Asur Ba'ana as well, based on the Pasuk of Lo Ye'achel Chametz. The Rambam calls both views, And Hokos Makalos Osuros Ramam quotes the view of Rabbi Avo, and Hokos Chametzamatza. The Gemara tells us that Ramam quotes the view of Chizkiya, and the Gemara argues that, well, wait, if you hold like Rabbi Avo, you don't require any other pasuk. So how is it that you understand the Rambam's view, the need to cite both sources, Chizkiya as well as Rabbi Avo? You know, the Lechem Mishnah points out that since Chizkiya is a simpler view, so therefore Nochos Chametz Amatzah, the Rambam just simply cites that reason, Lo Ye'achel Chametz, but nonetheless, could one suggest any other possibilities as to why the Rambam felt it was necessary to cite an additional source, even though in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the Rambam quotes the view of Rabbi Avo? That is our question. One possibility is as follows. When you look at the Gemara a little bit later on Daf Chav Gimel, the Gemara raises the following question. What about when it comes to Chadash? After all, the new, freshly grown grain, that is forbidden until the second day of Pesach, we offer the Minchas HaOmer. If you don't have the Minchas HaOmer, simply the arrival of the second day of Pesach is Matir, the Tvua HaChadash. Chadash is forbidden Ba'achila, one cannot go ahead and eat. The pasuk tells us lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. But yet we know it's a mishnah that chadash is not aser b'hana. The mishnah tells us that kotzer the shachas umachil lebehema, one is allowed to go ahead and to feed certain grains, even chadash, to their animal. So on the one hand, the Torah says don't eat. On the other hand, we know that chadash is mutter b'hana. How do you understand that according to the view of Rabbi Avohu? That's the Gemara's Kashim Sachem Adav Chav Gimel. That after all, whenever the Torah says don't eat, that necessarily implies not only an Isra Achila, but even an Isra Hana. So why is it that Chadash is Mutter Bahana? To this question, there's an answer that the Bavli gives and a different answer in Yerushalayim. The Bavli answers in Sachem Adav Chav Gimel the following, because look, the Torah describes that which you reap, you go ahead and you reap the new tefuah. The Torah calls that kitzir chen, your reaping. It is yours. So the Gemara argues as follows, if it is yours, apparently it must at least be mutter bahana. Because after all, the simple understanding of the Gemara, if something is asur ba'achila and bahana, meaning there's no utility, there's nothing that you can do with that object, is it really considered to be yours? Do we argue that it's yours but I cannot use it? Or do we argue that no, bailus, ownership, is a function of utility, and therefore, if there is no permissible utility, so therefore, it is not considered to be yours? That seemingly is what the Gemara argues. The fact that the Torah refers to the nutfu as kitzirchem, it means that, look, even though it's forbidden to eat, but nonetheless, it is mutter Bahana. This is part of a broader question that Tosaf Oshin, Simen Tavav, a lengthy discussion, is there bailus, is there ownership on Yisrei Hana? For example, the Ravid maintains, the Ritzvah quotes this in Sukkot Daf Lamed A, that if you have an Esrog Shel Orla, Orla is forbidden Ba'achila, it's forbidden Bahana, so therefore, an Esrog Shel Orla is not called Lochem. You cannot use it for the Mitzvah Rule of an Esrog, because Lachem means that there is some tangible way that you can express that ownership, and therefore if it's Aser Ba'achila, if it is Aser Ba'ana, that is not the case. So that's the answer that the Bavli gives. A pasuk that tells us that Chadash is Mutter Ba'ana, based on the pasuk of Kitzirchem. If you look in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi in Perek Beis of Psachim in Halacha Aleph, does not quote any pasuk, it simply quotes this far. And that is the Kavalo HaTorah Zman. The Torah tells us that Chadash is a temporary issur. It's not something that's permanent. It's not something which is ongoing. But rather, the Chadash is forbidden now. But you know what? Come the second day of Pesach, that issur will be lifted. And therefore, a Chiddush that Yerushalmi maintains, when did Rabbi Avo argue that anything which is forbidden to eat is necessarily forbidden b'hana? That's only if you're dealing with something that is ne'esar, something that inherently is considered to be forbidden. And that's true of nevela, trefa, chalev. I would have said that all of that is aser b'hana, unless the Torah goes out of its way and tells us differently. But yet, if you have a new Isser, where Kavva HaTorah Zman LeIsuro, the Torah has a fixed set of time, it's only an Isser LeZman, it is not something that inherently is Osir, so in such a case, Rabbi Avohu never maintained that that would be Osir Bahana. So therefore, Chadash is Mutter Bana, either because of a Pasuk, the view of the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, based on simply that logic, that Svara, that Kavva HaTorah Zman LeIsuro. If you look in Or Sameach is found in Perek Vav of Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Or Sameach writes, there's a critical machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And that is, when you have an Isser, which is temporary, it is not permanent. It's here today, but it's gone tomorrow. Can you really argue that that Alpidin is called an Isser Chefza? No? After all, we're used to assuming that sometimes the Torah forbids the object inherently. And other times the Torah just tells us that you may not partake. An Isser Chefza, an Isser Gavra, can an Isser Lizman be called an Isser Chefza? And that, the Rasameach writes, is the view of the Rishami. If something is absolutely forbidden, and it's a permanent Isser, there you can call that an Isser Chefza. However, something which is Usser now, but tomorrow will become Mutter, that at most is an Isser Gavra, and regarding Isser Gavra, Rabbi Avahu never maintained that we necessarily assume that there is an Isser. You know, the Yerushalmi writes this in a different context as well. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kufei in the days, a person around one of the 20 years that he loses a relative on Shabbos. And inappropriately, he rips Kriya on Shabbos. The Bavli writes that Afalpi Shemechalas a Shabbos, even though a person should not do so, nonetheless, Yatsa Yedei Kriya. The mitzvah of Kriya is in fact fulfilled. That's all the Bavli writes. The Yerushalmi asks the following question. Maishna mi matzah gzula. Why isn't that called a mitzvah haba b'avera? If a person performs a mitzvah and in doing so he transgresses an avera, we assume that mitzvah haba b'avera is eino mitzvah. So if a person is mechal Shabbos and he rips kriya, why don't we assume that that invalidates that act? Yerushalmi writes a magnificent teretz when it comes to matzah gzula taman gufa isura. The matzah, there inherently, that is considered to be forbidden. For Ramhacha, when it comes to a case of a person who rips kriyan Shabbos, hu da'avad isura. You are mechal Shabbos, but the chilo Shabbos does not impair. It doesn't affect the chefza, shal kriya. In order to have a mitzvah b'aver, the Yerushalmi writes, you have to have an aver that relates to the chefza, shal mitzvah. And therefore, Shabbos is called an Isser Gavra that would not render something a mitzvah haba be'avera. That's the chiddush of Yerushalmi. We discussed in earlier Yerushalmi, another Yerushalmi, found in Perek Gimel of Sukkah. This was made famous by the Rambam. A person goes ahead and steals the shofar, and he blows the shofar. The Rambam writes, as you find in Yerushalmi, you fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. Why is that true? There was an avera of Gezel. Gezel is an Isser Chefza. The answer is yes. It relates to the chefza, what chefza? You stole the shofar, but the Rambam writes, the mitzvah is the Shmias HaKol, and that's the famous Rambam that Ein Bekol Din Gezel. You didn't steal the sound that was produced, you stole the shofar. In other words, that mitzvah b'avera has to relate directly to the chefza shel mitzvah. So sometimes you can have an avera where the quality, the nature of the avera does not impair the chefetz. And therefore, when it comes to Chilo Shabbos, that is only an Isser Gavra. And as such, the same thing is true regarding this case of Chadash. The Yerushalmi writes, and that is that Chadash is a temporary Isser. It applies now. Come the second day of Pesach, it is off. That is an indicator. If it's an Isser Lizman, it's an Isser Gavra. We don't necessarily assume Rabbi Avoh's application. And therefore, that is why Chametz is the Chadash is Mutter Bahana. That's the Yerushalmi. An obvious difficulty. An obvious question. If that really is true, that Chadash is not subject to Rabbi Avohu because it's an Issa Lizman, so what about Chametz HaPesach? How do you know that Chametz is Asur Bahana? Rabbi Avohu says because whenever something is Asur Bachila, automatically it's Asur Bahana. Isn't Chametz in Issa Lizman? Chametz is forbidden during Pesach, but it is permitted la'achra Pesach. If that's true of Chadash, why isn't it true of Chametz as well? So there's a comment that the Gra has This gra is found elsewhere in the Yerushalmi. It's found in Perek Gimel of Maseches Arla. The Gon has a brief comment. The Gon writes that the application of Rabbi Avohu to Chametz is all assuming like the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains that Chametz la'achar ha-Pesach is forbidden min ha-Torah. That's Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that just as Chametz is forbidden on Pesach, Chametz also is forbidden la'achar ha-Pesach. And just like you can't eat any Chametz on Pesach, regardless of whether it's owned by a Jew or whether it's owned by an non-Jew, you can't eat any chametz that existed during Pesach, even after Pesach. Regardless of whether it was owned by a Jew or non-Jew, according to Rabbi Shita, our mechiras chametz would not function at all. We sell the chametz to a guy, you're right, we wouldn't violate Bayram by Matzei, but you know, the chametz would be usher after Pesach, because any chametz that existed during Pesach is forbidden. L'achra Pesach. You don't pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda. We assume, true, there is a concept of chametz of Pesach, but that's only a Knas Drabanan. And what is the basis of the Knas Drabanan? Because since one violated Bayram by Matzeh, by owning the Chametz, therefore a Knas not to utilize the Chametz. Well, that's only true if it was owned by a Jew, not if owned by a guy. That whole institution of the Mechiras Chametz is based on the fact we pass like the view of Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chametz of Pesach is forbidden min ha-Torah. And therefore, if that's true, chametz is not at all a temporary iser. Once the chametz is usur, that iser will permanently remain. And therefore, the Gon writes an interesting chiddush, and that is that if that is true, that chametz is a permanent iser, even la'achar ha-Pesach, therefore you can apply the principle of Rabbi Avohu. That would mean, however, that if we don't pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that Chametz of Pesach is only an Isser with Zman, therefore one could not invoke Rabbi Avohu. And even if one should assume as the view of Rabbi Avohu, it's still necessary to cite some other source to tell us that Chametz is Aser Bahana, and perhaps this is the basis of the view of the Rambam. And even though the Rambam, Hilchos Machalos Asuros and Peraches, quotes the view of Rabbi Avohu, but nonetheless, a separate pasuk is necessary when it comes to Chametz b'Pesach. That's the chiddush that Rav Zsolti suggests to understand the view of the Rambam. And he goes a step further and argues maybe the Bavli could even agree. Because, you know, there is a difference between Chadash as opposed to Chametz. Maybe Chadash, one could argue, according to the Bavli, is not really an Isser l'Zman. See, we always refer to Chametz as a davar sheish, chadash is a davar sheish b'matirin. In principle, maybe this is a permanent one, but you know what? The minchas ha'omer is matir, the tua ha'chadasha. If I were to ask when it comes to chametz and Pesach, is that really a matir? Why is chametz allowed after Pesach? Because when we make havdalah, that's matir the isser of chametz. One simply would argue the pre-chadash writes, not because it's a matir, but simply because it's only an isser l'zman. And when the Zman comes to an end, the Isser comes to an end. How do you know whether something is a Dover Sheish L'Matirin or an Isser L'Zman? I'll ask you a very simple question, B'chadosh writes. Will this Isser ever resurface? Once again, once the second day of Pesach passes, this Tfu will never again become Asser as Chadosh. Right, this bread, right, is Mutter now, but come next Pesach, if it still exists, it's going to be forbidden again. So that's an Isser l'Zman. It's not that there was an inherent matir. So maybe one could argue, good, the Bavli considers Chodosh to be an Isser Chetza. That requires a matir, but not necessarily when it comes to Chametz. And therefore one could argue that maybe the application of Rabbi Avohu to Chametz is based on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's one possibility to resolve the difficulty in the Rambam. Again, the Rambam assumes like Rabbi Yehuda, why is it, Rabbi Avohu, why is it all necessary to quote any other pasuk to tell us that chametz is aser bana? I would suggest a very different approach. If you look in the Rambam elsewhere, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis in Maseches Krisus, it's in Perek Gimel, it's in Krisus and Daf Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes what the Rambam calls a nekuda nifla, a wondrous finish. The Rambam writes, brace yourself, I'm about to tell you, right, a wonderful Chiddush, and that is that there are two different types of Yisurei Hana. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Not all Yisurei Hana are equal. What exactly is troubling the Rambam? On what basis did the Rambam formulate this Chiddush of different qualities of Yisurei Hana? The Rambam is bothered by the following. That Mishnah in Krisus Paragimel. Paragimel, Mishnah Dalet, Krisus Daf Yud Gimel Mud Beis. There the Mishnah tells us the following. Yesh ochel achil achas. It's possible for a person to eat a single kazayis. V'chayev lav dalet chatos v'asham echad. It will be chayev five different karbonos for eating one kazayis. What is the case? Tamei, shachal chelev, v'hunosar, min hamukdashim, v'yom ha-kippurim. That's the case the Mishnah tells us. Now, in that instance, a person eats a simple kazayis, he's chayiv five different times. The Rambam is bothered by the following. Oh, wait a second. We have a principle of enis rechalis. Once something is already forbidden, it's not so easy to superimpose an additional iser on top of that. Enis rechalis. And therefore, look, this is chaylev. Chaylev is already asr. So the Mishnah assumes a person is makdish the behema. So now that piece of chaylev has two isurim, not only chaylev but also nisur of hekdesh of mukdashim. So if I eat that b'shogeg, I'm chayev achatas for the chaylev, but chayev an asham providing this nisur of meila. So therefore you have two karbanos, right? Chatos and an asham meila. But the difficulty is as follows: why not assume that ein isur chal? I'll listen. So the Rambam writes very simply the following. That look, chaylev is asr ba'achila. But chaylev is mutter ba'hana. When I am makdish that animal, now I'm not allowed to benefit from that animal in any shape or form. But no, after all, the animal is now a behemas hekdesh. Mi'ila is an isr hana. So therefore the Rambam writes that you've added a quality to that isr. Not only does asr ba'achila, it's asr bahana, and the Rambam maintains that hana al gabe achila is called an isr mosif, and therefore that is chal. So therefore the Rambam writes, don't be bothered. How is it possible to be chayiv korban asham, violating the ila? That piece of chila was already asr? No, but isr is a quite different one. Before the hakadasha was only asr bahachila, now it's asr bahana. So in a word, the Rambam argues that hana al gabe achila is chal as an isr mosif. Okay. Now the Rambam asks this question. A person has a piece of chaylev, and he goes ahead and he cooks that chaylev in milk. And he goes ahead and consumes it. It's clear from the Gemara that he's only chayev once. He's chayev for chaylev, but he's not chayev for basa b'cholav because ein iser chal iser. The Rambam raises the obvious difficulty. Basa b'cholav is not only aser b'achila. Basa b'cholav is aser b'hana. And I just got through saying the Rambam writes that hana gabi achila is called in iser mosif. So why is that true when it comes to mukdashim, if I'm makdish the chaylev, and it's not true when it comes to the case of my cooking that chaylev in milk? In other words, what is the difference between the iser hana of mukdashim as opposed to the iser hana of basa b'chalav? That is the Rambam's kash. So the Rambam writes, I'm about to tell you an akuda nifla. And that is, there are two different types of Yisurei Hana. Sometimes you have an independent Yisur Hana. And sometimes the Rambam writes, the Yisur Hana is an extension of the Yisur Achila. You have a primary Yisur, which is Yisur Achila, and by extension you have a secondary Yisur of an Yisur Hana. When it comes to the case of mukdashim, you know what? A person is makdish something that belongs to hekdesh. If I ask you, why is it that you cannot partake? Why can't you utilize that object? You're going to tell me, what do you mean? It belongs to hekdesh. There's a Tosefes Kedusha. That would be at times an act of gezel. If I were to ask you, is it an Isser Achila? You would tell me, not really an Isser Achila. One cannot be nehene. You can't benefit in any shape or form from that which is hekdesh. You buy that an Isser Me'ila. You're right, you can't eat it, you can't utilize it, but it doesn't begin as an Isser Achila. So Mukdashim, the Rambam writes, is a classic example of an independent Isser Hana. The Rambam writes, when do I assume that an Isser Hana can be chal on top of an Isser Achila? Only if it's an independent Isser Hana. The Rambam writes, when it comes to Basar Bachala, that certainly is not true. The Rambam writes, the primary Isser is eating Basar Bachala. By extension, the Torah tells us, not only can you not eat, but you can't even sell it to a non-Jew, you can't even feed it to your animal. But there the Rambam writes, the Isser Hana is an extension of the Isser Achila. And therefore, if you have something such as Chelev, where Achila is already forbidden, if as far as the Isser of Achila of Basar Bachala is concerned, there's no room for it to kick in because ein iser chal iser, if this iser achila cannot be chal, then by extension this iser hana cannot be chal. So the Rambam writes, when you have an iser hana, which is an extension of an iser achila, then if this iser achila is chal, yes, if not, not. If you have an independent iser hana, that is not true. That is the finish of the Rambam's view. And therefore the Rambam writes, when it comes to mukdashin, iser chal al iser. When it comes to basar bachala ben chaylev, then ein iser chal iser. That's the models of the Rambam, two different types of isurei hana. I'll give you what, at first glance, sounds like a magnificent parallel. When you look in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Kufei Zayin, the Rambam writes that among the Targ Mitzvos is the Isra of basar bachala. So you know, if you're writing a Sefer HaMitzvos, how many isurim do you count for basar bachala? So guess what? The Rambam counts two. Two. One is bishul. You're not allowed to cook basar bachala. Lo savash ogdi bachalev imo. That's one. And you know what the second is? Achila hana. Achila hana, the Rambam counts as a single issa. A single issa. And the Ramban is masi. The Ramban elsewhere in Sefer Mitzvos and Shorash Beis. Why does the Ram only count two? The Ram should count three. The Ram should count basar bachala as in Isser Bishul, as in Isser Achila, as in Isser Hana. The Ram only counts it as two. In other words, the Rambam counts the Isser Achila and Isser Hana as one. If, after all, the Isser Hana was absolutely independent of the Isser Achila, you would have expected the Ram to count that independently as well. But one could argue in a certain sense that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos that counts Achila and Hana Basar Bachala as a single Isser is exactly as the Nekuda Nifla, that there the Isser Hana is an extension of the Isser Achila and therefore is not counted independently. I would argue that as follows. If you look more carefully in the Rambam, it's not as simple. Because the Rambam in the Nekuda Nifla writes that Hana is an extension of Isser Achila. When you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, explaining why the Rambam counts Achila and Hana as one, then the Rambam seems to say something different, almost the opposite. The Rambam says, because Achila is min minine Hana. Because Achila is just a form of Hana. He gets the impression the Rambam is counting Hana, and Achila is just a form of Hana. That doesn't sound exactly as the Nekuda Nifla. Nekuda Nifla says, Mukdashim, there's Hana. And eating is just a form of Hana. Mashinke, Basar Bachala, there, Hana is an extension of an Isser Achila. Here one could suggest that really, technically speaking, the Rambam is not contradicting himself at all, but the Rambam is highlighting, right, this point. If you want to explain why Basar Bachala is not an Isser Mosiv, and why Hana Agabe Achila, right, is not considered to be chal, you have to avoid two possibilities. If you hold in the extreme that Hana is an absolutely independent Isser, then Hana, Agabi Achila, should be an Isser Mosiv. If you hold that Achila is just a form of Hana, well then also, if it's just a form of Hana, then Hana should be chal, Agabi Achila. So the Rambam has to navigate that it's not an independent Isser, but at the same time, if Isser Achila is not Chal, Isser Hana is not Chal. So when the Rambam writes that Hana is a form of Achila, the Rambam does not mean to say it's an equal form of Achila. I would add the following word. Achila is a primary form of Hana. And since that is the prime form of Hana, therefore, if Isser Achila cannot be Chal, the Isser Hana cannot be chal. So the Rambam therefore argues that, look, all Hana is Asr, and therefore it's one lav. But there are gradations. The main Isser is an Isser Achila. And Hana is only secondary, and therefore, if this Rachila is not chal, this Hana is not chal as well. You know where you see this in the Rambam as well? What is the onish for Hana? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ne'ila that if a person will go ahead and utilize Hektish, a person gets Malchus. There's Malchus. If a person is Nin, they're from Kachay Shemayim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, if a person is Nin from Basa B'chala, for example, the Rambam writes there's no Malchus. Because the primary Yisr is Achila. If you eat, then there's Malchus. But Hana, which is only secondary in such a case, then Ein Oloke. So the Rambam has two differences. One is whether Isser Chal Isser. The other is, what is the Onish for Hana? If it is essentially an Isser Hana, then there's Malchus. If the Isser Hana is an extension of Isser Achila, you only get Malchus for the Achila, which is the main form of Hana, not for any other form of benefit itself. See, when you see this Rambam in a Kudni Flood, that there are two different types of Isser Hana, I would suggest now the question is resolved. The Rambam, in general, assumes like Rabbi Yavohu. If something is Asr Bachila, by extension, it is also Asr Bahana. But that would be an example of an extended Isser Hana, where Achila is a prime Isser, and Hana is considered to be a secondary Isser. And therefore, if all you had was Rabbi Yavohu, all you would argue is that Chametz by extension is Asr Bahana as well. The Rambam perhaps could maintain as follows. No, that's not really true. Because there's a pasuk that goes out of its way, Lo Ye'achel Chametz, to tell us that Chametz is blatantly Asr Bahana. Not merely as an extension of an Isser Achila, but rather per se, Chametz is Asr Bahana. And if that is true, one could resolve that difficulty, just as the Rambam writes, there are two different types of Isri Hana. One is a lesser form, where it's an extension of an Isra Achila. And there's a primary Isra Hana, which is an independent one, so therefore that reduces the question. Why is it necessary for the Rambam to quote any other source if the Rambam could invoke Rabbi Yavohu? The answer is that Rabbi Yavohu could only teach us the extended form of an Isra Hana, but not the primary form of an Isser Hana, and therefore the Rambam tells us, you know, that Chametz is Asr B'Pesach, first tier, not just simply second tier as an extension of the Isser Achila. One could suggest that perhaps according to the Rambam's view, if one is Nene from Chametz to Pesach, one would get Malchus, even though that would not be true when it comes to Basa B'Chalav, because you have an express pasuk that tells us differently. I'll tell you an interesting model, which is a similar kasha, found in that very same parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam writes that you can't even eat the smallest amount of chametz, even less than a kazayis. The smallest amount of chametz you cannot eat. Why a pasuk? Lo yachal chametz. You know what's difficult? If you look at the Nosek Eivim, what is the source of the Rambam? They quote the Gemara Yuma Daf Ayin Dalet. Yuma Daf Ayin Dalet is the sugya of Chatzishir. Chatzishir. Where there we assume the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that even though to get an onesh, reading mevela or trefo or chelev, you have to eat a kazayis, even less than a kazayis is forbidden in HaTorah as well. So too, the Rambam writes, you can't even consume the smallest amount of chametz. You know what's difficult with that? That's not quite what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that consumption of the smallest amount of chametz is forbidden based on a pasuk. The Rambam doesn't simply say it's because chatzishir is also min haTorah. So that again is a fascinating parallel where just utilizing the halachos b'chol haTorah kula, Rabbi Yavohu, whenever the Torah says achil, it means hana, or b'chol haTorah kula, chatzishir is forbidden. But here the Rambam quotes a separate pasuk to tell us that you can't even consume the smallest amount of chametz. And here as well one could raise the issue that why do you need a pasuk if chatzishir is asur min haTorah? After all, this is true when it comes to everything. It's true when it comes to nevela, and when it comes to chelev, and it's true when it comes to trefa. Why does the Rambam require a separate pasuk to tell us that, you know what, the smallest amount of chametz is considered to be forbidden. Here also I would suggest that one would argue that there's a difference in the quality of this of Chatishir, as opposed to where a pasuk tells us expressly that any amount of chametz is considered to be asur. I'll give you an example. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shvuos, Perakei Halacha Zayin, the Rambam writes that a person can make a shvuah on a chatishir. A person can make a shvuah, I will not eat, right? Pachos mikazai yisav neveva. Even though the Rambam writes that that's also because of chatishir, the Rambam writes chatishir is a pretty weak iser. It's a weaker iser. And therefore, a shvuah can be imposed on a chatishir. That's the view of the Rambam. Why is it a weaker iser? One possibility, this is what the Meiri writes, because that Gemara in Yuman, the Ayin Dalet, tells us chatishir is also. Why is that true? The Gemara says chatishir is also because chazi leads to rishi. You know what? Because maybe a fear. You're going to eat a little bit, and you're going to stop right beneath the kazayis. You know what? Maybe you'll end up eating more, and lo and behold, you'll violate the real iser. It's only also because of chazi seruchim. We have a sefengel, the Prima Gadim called this a siyag darais of shemi avo. Don't even eat the smallest amount. Because who says you're going to be able to stop so easily? You may all of a sudden cross the threshold and eat a kazayis. That's a fascinating possibility, but that's what the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Kavega writes, Rabbi Yosef Engel, that chatzishir is only usher because of the possibility that it can be combined with something else. I'll ask you a simple question. What if combination is impossible? What if combination is out of the question? Rabbi Kavega writes the following case. A person makes a shvua that he will not eat the kazayis of this loaf of bread. You know what he does? He wants to make sure it doesn't violate this. He destroys the whole loaf of bread. It doesn't exist. And all that remains right now is chatzishir. Rabbi Kavega writes, there shouldn't be an iser to eat that chatzishir. The only reason chatzishir is also is because of the potential combination. There's no possibility at all of ever eating a full shir. Or the Noda Behuda writes, let's assume, for example, it's the end of the day. It's the end of the day. That I look at my watch, you know what? There's a minute left to Pesach. There's a minute left to Yom Kippur. It's not even possible any longer to eat a kazayis. Time doesn't allow for consuming a kazayis. What I argue, but nonetheless, you can't even take a single bite. Or what I argue, there's no possibility of combination any longer. I don't have to worry about chazi seruchim. That's a chiddush that the Noda Behuda suggests. But so fayom, there would not be an issur Torah of chatzishir. So chatzishir is only forbidden because of the potential combination. So therefore the Rambam writes a shvuah is chal na chatzishir, and the Nodir writes the sof hayom chatzishir is mutter. I would suggest the following. Let's assume like that Noda Behuda chiddush, that the sof hayom there's no iser chatzishir. I would argue as follows. Maybe that's true when it comes to Yom Kippur, but not true when it comes to Pesach. Because why is it that chatzishir is forbidden on Pesach? The Rambam doesn't say because of chazis derufe. The Rambam writes it's also because of a separate pasuk of lo yachel chametz. So here, the chatzishir is usher independent of chazis derufe. And therefore, I would suggest another difference, that even though the Rambam writes that a shvuah could be chal on chatzishir, that's true of a chatzishir of nevela, that's true of a chatzishir of chela, that wouldn't be true of a chatzishir of chametz, the Pesach. Because chametz on Pesach, that's usher because of a pasuk of lo yachel chametz. It's another fascinating model where the Rambam quoted a pasuk for something that we could have derived from Kol HaTorah Kula. We could have derived the Nisr Hana from Rabbi Avo. We could have derived the Nisr HaKatishir from Rabbi Yochanan. But the Rambam quotes a separate makar to tell us, no, that's not true when it comes to Chametz or Pesach. This is more stringent. This is an independent Isser. And I would just go a step further and argue as follows, that maybe this isn't just a model, that just like Nisr Hana, so too that's true of chatzishir. But you know what's pretty fascinating? The Rambam quotes the same pasuk for both. Both when it comes to understanding this or hana, as well as when it comes to understanding this or chatzishir, the Rambam writes that all of this is aser on Pesach. Why? Because of lo ye'achel chametz. It's the same pasuk. That pasuk tells us that chametz cannot be consumed in any shape, in any form, in any amount. The chametz is off limits. It cannot be utilized, whether it's chatishir, whether it's hana. Fascinating that the Rambam quotes the same pasuk in both cases, not just simply as a model, but this additional pasuk is telling us the true b'chol ha'torah kolo. We would have assumed that this is usher, but the quality and the focus of isser is so different based on the fact that there's a separate pasuk that tells us that this is considered to be usher. So both when it comes to the isser hana, as well as when it comes to these cases that you have of chatzishir, here the Rambam writes that that is expressly the case. So again, the Rambam writes different types of isseri achila, different types of isseri hana when it comes to cases of chametz the Pesach. Even when it comes to Erev Pesach as well, we know that chametz is forbidden. One cannot go ahead and eat chametz already from the fourth hour and beyond. 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, chametz is already considered to be asur. But yet, if you look in the Rambam, you find that even though that's true, that you can't eat chametz from 10 to 11, you can't eat chametz from 11 to 12, but nonetheless, the Rambam finds a clear difference between 10 to 11 as opposed to 11 and 12. In both cases, there's an isra of achilas chametz drabanan. But the quality of that is, in Erev Pesach, is considered to be that which is different. See, the Mishnah tells us in Sachem and Afir Aleph as follows, that when it comes to chametz, ochlin kol arba, you can go ahead and eat chametz for the first 4 hours of the day, until 10 o'clock, and then tolin b'chamesh, 10 to 11 tolin, tolin usually means it's suspended, not here, not there. The sofrim in Bior is b'tchila sheish, at 11 o'clock. So until 10 you can eat, from 10 to 11 tolin, 11 o'clock and beyond, sarfin. What exactly does the Mishnah mean, tolin? Tolin. No? See, the difficulty is as follows. This is what Rashi is bothered by. Tolin normally means that, look, there are two options. You can neither do A, nor can you do B. That's what tolin literally means. It's suspended. It's in limbo. It's in no man's land. You can't do this and you can't do that. For example, I have truma, and I'm not sure whether this truma is truma tahora or whether it's truma tamea. So I cannot eat it because maybe it's truma tamea, but I cannot burn it because maybe it's truma tahora. So tolin means I'm a little stuck. No, I can't do this and I can't do that. So the Mishnah uses that very same term to describe chametz from 10 to 11, tolin. Rashi is very bothered. What does tolin mean? I cannot eat, I understand, but I cannot burn? I have to wait until 11 o'clock to burn. So Rashi writes, you know what tolin means? That lo ochlin, you're not allowed to eat it, but ein sarich lisrof. You don't have to burn it. So it's a little difficult, no? Tolin usually means you're stuck. You can't do A and you can't do B. Rashi understandably writes, you can't burn. Oh, what's wrong with burning? No, you don't have to burn. You can't eat, but you're not as of yet obligated to burn. The Rambam was not satisfied with this. The Rambam, Perakalaf, Lachatesef, Lachoschomi, Tamatza, a subnote, Tolin really means you can't do A and you cannot do B. What do you mean? You can't burn? So the Rambam writes the following Kiddush. The Rambam writes, let's assume, for example, a person has truma, which is chametz. Or you know what? A person has lach me toda, which is chametz. So come 10 o'clock in the morning, I can't eat it anymore. There's nisra of achilas chametz. So burn it. Burn it? Wait a second. From 10 to 11, chametz is mutter bahana. The chametz inherently is not nesa, it's not forbidden. What right do I have to burn lach metoda, to burn the truma right now? If the chametz or the truma is nesar, then it's tolin sreifa. But at this hour, it's aser b'achila, but it's mutter b'hana. So therefore, the Rambam writes, yeah, you're in limbo. You cannot eat, nor are you allowed to burn. You have to wait until 11 o'clock to burn the truma or the lach metoda. Chametz, which is cool, and you can burn it 8 in the morning. But chametz, which is truma or lachmei toda, you have to wait until it is osur, and then you can go ahead and burn. That's what Rambam understood. Totally. So if you look in the briskarav, in Perak Aleph Lachatesek of Chametz and Matzah, there, right, the briskarav is bothered by the following difficulty. I understand from 10 to 11, chametz is osur ba'achila. It's mutter ba'ana. So if it's mutter ba'ana, there's utility. I can sell it to a guy. I can give it to my animal to eat. Good, I understand. You have truma, you have lach metoda. You have lach metoda. So at 10 o'clock you can't eat it. But in principle I can still use it. Use it for what? I can give the lach metoda to my dog. I can sell it to a guy. It's kudshin. So you can't be nana from it. You can't give it to your animal. You can't sell it to a guy. So in all practical intent and purpose, it's also, you cannot go ahead and use it. So the only thing you can do with the Truman Lach Metod is eat it. And once 10 o'clock arrives, there's an Isra Achila, so you're going to tell me, I still have to wait till 11. Well, why in the world do I have to wait till 11? After all, there's no express utility here and now, because the only thing I can do with this is eat it, and eating is already forbidden at the time of 10 o'clock. So Biskarav points out that if you look in the Gemara, classic Biskar distinction, the Gemara writes you can't eat chametz from 10 to 11 or from 11 to 12. Why can't you eat chametz from 11 to 12? Well, Gemara says the following. Min ha-Torah, you cannot eat chametz lachar chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a law, and according to Rabbi Shimon, that's where the mitzvah tashvisu min ha-Torah, from chatzos and beyond. The chametz min ha-Torah is nesar at chatzos. The chachamim pushed that up 1 hour, 11 o'clock. Midaraisa, the chametz inherently is forbidden at 12. Midrabanan, inherently it's forbidden b'achila, the chifza, at 11 o'clock. So now you'll ask me, okay, but I'm not even allowed to eat it from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Why? It's clear from the Gemara that was a separate concern. A separate concern. The Gemara says, you know, we're a little afraid. Look, they didn't have watches, they didn't have clocks. Toe biyom hamu'una. It'll be a cloudy day. It's not going to be so easy to recognize the precise time. So therefore the Chum maintained, you know what? Let's add an hour. Already at 10 o'clock in the morning, don't eat the chametz because of the concern of toe biyom hamu'una. So if a person were to ask you, that why can't I eat chametz from 11 to 12? You'll tell me because midrabanan inherently is forbidden. If a person will say, but why can't you eat the chametz from 10 to 11? The other person will argue, well, that's just precautionary, because we're concerned that if it's a cloudy day, you might lose track of time. But you see that built in to the Isra Achila, it's not that the Achila is forbidden midrabanan from 10 to 12. It's forbidden 10 to 11 because of gavra, toav yamamunan. It's forbidden from 11 to 12 because the chametz is considered to be nesar. And a beautiful raya, if you look in the very next halacha, halacha yud, the Rambam writes as follows. You know, it's very unclear. The Prima Gadim has a work which is called the Psicha HaKalalas. It's his introduction at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. It's fascinating to go through. That's where the Prima Gadim, right, tells you principles in terms of, right, all the learning. What is Daraisa? What is Drabanan? Right? What is Divrei Sofrim? What is Divrei Kabbalah? Right? All the different gradations, levels of Dinam Daraisa. What is Torah Shebichsav? What is Torah Shebalpeh? It's fascinating to work through the Psicha Kolas. I always recommend to my Talmidim, right, during intercessions, I always go through the Psicha Kolas of the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim has a whole kuntres called Malkus Margus. When do you get Malkus Drabanan? Right? When do you get Malkus Drabanan? It's very unclear from the Gemara. When is that true? Whenever you violate Nisa Drabanan? Or, no, is there a certain formal character and structure to Malkus Drabanan, similar to Malkus Daraisa? You don't get Malkus in the Torah for every transgression, right? There are technical hagdaros, categories, of something which generates a chiyuv Malkus, and something which does not. The Prima Gadim continues and raises 9 hakiras regarding Malkus Mardus. Fascinating, fascinating discussions. But in that whole piece that Prima Gadim has, he quotes this Rambam. The Rambam writes, if a person eats chametz on Erev Pesach, during the Zman HaYisr, will he get Malkus Rabbanan or not? The Rambam writes, yes, if he eats the chametz from 11 to 12. Chametz is also b'achila 10 o'clock. The Rambam already understood the quality of 10 to 11 is different from 11 to 12. 11 to 12, just as there's an Isra b'achila chametz midaraisa, there's an Isra d'Rabbanan where the chametz is nesa at 11 o'clock. And for that, you'll get Malkus Mardos. 10 to 11 is just the precautionary gzera of Toa b'yom ha-ma'unan. That will not generate the chiyuv of Malkus. Drabbanan, explicit the Rambam Shita. There's such a difference. So therefore, if I will ask you, at what point in time is the chametz inherently forbidden, that there's no longer an iser of sreifas, kodshim, or being ma'abed, destroying truma? The answer is 11 o'clock. The answer is not 10 o'clock. And therefore, that's exactly why the Rambam writes the case of Tolan during that hour. So even though Chametz is Osra on Erev Pesach from 10 o'clock and on, but nonetheless a marked difference in 10 to 11 as opposed to 11 and 12, but those differences that the Rambam writes, Malkus Rabbanon in that particular case as well. It's a fascinating biur. You know, it's interesting, the Gemara writes in Sofim and Dafa, if a person is Mekadesh and Isha with Chametz, Yishei Shol Sulam Allah, already Rashi writes at 11 o'clock in Am, when the Isra Hanad Rabbanan kicks in, Ein Choshesh in the Kedushin. That's not considered to be a Kedushin at all, even though it's only forbidden, Mid Rabbanan. But nonetheless, it's forbidden, and therefore, there's no Kedushin whatsoever. The Rif quotes the Slalacha very simply. The quotes the Slalacha of Gimel and Dapei Rif. The Allah Balamor gets so upset. Why does the Rif quote this Lahalacha? This is not Lahalacha. Why is it not Lahalacha? Because we just discussed. So there's Machlokas, Rabin and Rabbi Shimon. What is the status of Chametz on Erev Pesach? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chametz after Pesach is Alav, and Chametz on Erev Pesach, right, is Alav as well. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that really is not true. The most Tosfos writes is that Erev Pesach there is a mitzvah of Tashvisu. So as a function of the mitzvah of Tashvisu, you can't go ahead and eat or utilize the chametz, but there's no express prohibition. It's just an extension of mitzvah tashmisu. All of that is Shumin HaTorah from Chatzos and on. The Balamor writes this great chiddush that Gemara in Safim and Avav, being Mekadesh and Isha from 11 o'clock in Choshish and the Kedushin, is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Why should the Rif quote this Lalacha? Why in the world is that dependent on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are talking about the Din D'oraisa, but everyone agrees that Midrabanan Chametz is ready Yasser, right, from 11 o'clock and beyond. That's not a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So why did the Balamor think that that's true? The answer apparently is as follows. In order to argue in Choshesh and the Kedushin, you have to argue that the Chametz inherently is considered to be forbidden, as we just discussed. The Balamor maintained an interesting chiddush. That's only possible if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that chametz at 12 o'clock is an Isser Lav. There's a losa saying the Torah regarding chametz. Then you could argue, just pushing back one step, that what is true min HaTorah is also true midrabanan from 11 o'clock and beyond. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that inherently the chametz is not necessarily forbidden in HaTorah. It's just that there's a mitzvah of tashvisu. So that will already impact on the quality of the Isser Drabanan as well. And therefore the Balamor writes, the type of Isser Drabanan is going to be affected by what you hold Min HaTorah La'acha Chatzos. It's another example of the different possibilities of an Isser Achila and Isser Hana Drabanan as well. So these are fascinating possibilities in terms of the Isser Achila and Isser Hana Min HaTorah when it comes to Pesach itself. Is it an extension of the Isser Achila? Is it an independent Isser of Hana? And even when it comes to the Isser Drabanan and Erev Pesach, two different tiers of Isser Drabanan as well. Chametz is Asur Bachila already from 10 to 11, but that's only a Gzeira Drabanan of Toa B'yom HaMa'unan. Chametz inherently miyasulach is forbidden from 11 o'clock and beyond. And therefore the Rambam writes, Malkus Rabbanan is only from 11 o'clock, and therefore the Rambam writes. That's exactly the simple understanding of the Mishnah, that there's a certain type of chametz such as Truma or Lachmetoda, where one has to wait until it is forbidden in order to burn it, and therefore Tolin. From 10 to 11 you can't eat, as of it you cannot burn, only when Bechetza, the Iser, Achila, and Hanad, Drabanan kick in at 11 o'clock, that's when we assume that one is allowed to go ahead and to burn that type of chametz. So both Midaraisa as well as Rabbanan, different forms of Yisuri Achila, different forms of Yisuri Hana, all of which are evident when it comes to this era chametz b'pesach.